Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning, Holly Gitline. And we're going to be talking with Holly about many, many different facets of her her time on this earth. I'll put it that way. How's that? Welcome, Holly.
Hi, Mike. Thanks.
So, Holly, if you were to describe yourself, maybe this is the way we begin a something of this sort. If you were to describe yourself, how would you do that? What's the characteristic activity or purpose that you find that most defines you?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say the activities that mostly define me are creation and art and service. So lately I've decided to call myself an artist, even though I have a multitude of backgrounds and education and experience. But I mostly approach things from trying to look at nature and life and reality from an observative standpoint that allows me to kind of read in between the lines. And I'm also very dedicated to service on the planet and in the universe, actually. So I spend most of my time trying to help others or the planet.
And Holly, maybe it's quite possible that listeners in this area know you over time because you grew up in the Palmer area?
No, I didn't grow up in Alaska. I actually, my family has been here for probably 40 years now, which is about how old I am. And I came up here as a kid and stayed with my aunt and uncles and like summer vacations. But I moved up here permanently to be with the majority of my family after I finished college, which was at the University of Northern Colorado.
University of Northern Colorado.
Right, with a degree in biology and a minor in Spanish.
So you're something of a scientist as well.
All of my education is in science. I have an undergraduate degree in biology and then a graduate diploma in marine science, which I did at the University of the South Pacific in Fiji on a Rotary scholarship. So I've been, one of the other things that I really love to do is travel, and I've had a really fortunate life of travel. I used my undergraduate degree to go on three exchanges, lived in Costa Rica for a year, Colombia, and Ghana, West Africa. So I've been able to travel a lot, live in different places, experience different cultures, see how other people live and move through our earth and how we treat it. And it's been very humbling and very awakening, lets me really see a wide spectrum of how life can exist.
Well, many listeners, I would expect, share my sense of those places if we have not traveled to them. And I'm going to guess that the majority of listeners will not spend much time in any of the named places, Costa Rica, Colombia, Fiji and Ghana. Yeah. So perhaps without getting into too much depth, because I'm sure there were many, many different experiences and so on that have informed your present work and life. But as you think of all of those places, was there a stepping stone as they went in chronological order? Or was there an aha as you had your first experience and then that deepened? How did that all work with all those really, to our ears, exotic places?
Well, I think the biggest thing was always nature. I was always drawn to places to experience the wild, and that always, of course, I always interacted with the people who lived in those wild environments or not developed as much. I was always interested in looking at how nature existed, where life came from. And I think it's that exploration of really trying to find out like the source of who we are, what we're supposed to be doing or what we're not, why we're here, I guess, not what we're supposed to be doing, but why we're here. And through that, like, you know, my first experience, like leaving the country at 19 and living away for a year, which was nobody in my family ever did that, really opened up a whole new reality, a whole new perspective on life, a whole new perspective on nature. And I began to question more of things that you just get taught at school all the time and information that's passed down. I began to think a lot more kind of critically and exploring things from my own perspective and my own point of view. And that really catalyzed an artistic career, because I found that art was probably the most free place for thinking. You're not as walled in as you are in science. Science has a lot of limitations, actually, laws and theories, and maybe not as much open-mindedness, whereas art, art allows for anything.
Well, I'm happy that you brought that up. There's an ongoing discussion about a scientific process with perhaps one group perspective that suggests that science done purely is very much like art, as opposed to being contrasting, and that it is an exploration. And what you've described as art seems to be in that same direction. So I'm curious how having had a background, a scientific background, and in particular having had the opportunity to read a piece you wrote about doing art, and yet in the description providing what I would term a very fact-based, reference-based description of what you do as art in a more remote part of Alaska, I came away with a sense that these two elements of art and science have blended rather well.
Yeah, they have. You're talking about my artist residency up in Selawik National Wildlife Refuge that I went with a few years ago with the Fish and Wildlife Service. And there is, I think science is amazing. It's a way of approaching and solving questions. And probably one of the biggest challenges with science is having people get very attached to what they believe is correct and create these entire belief systems around that. And if perhaps the evidence isn't there, new evidence can come in and contradict that, but people still are so stuck in their belief system, they can't really allow for change. And that's not science, like the pure science fault. That's just human nature, or, you know, somebody's maybe perhaps the way they attach to their identity and their beliefs. I think science and art have always been exemplified by great minds and thinkers. You know, Leonardo da Vinci was a scientist and an artist. Darwin was also, you know, he was a great artist. Linnaeus was an artist. So there's a real hand-in-hand relationship. Both require a keen eye for detail and observation. And scientists should have an open mind. It just seems like what I've run into a lot is there isn't as much open-mindedness, perhaps, as in the biological science as much as maybe the quantum scientists are quite open there. But, I think there is a relationship between science and art. And I think there's also art is a very good tool for bridging the gap in between the purpose of science, which is to define and explain our natural world, especially about the environment. A lot of science explains natural phenomena or ideas about managing resources in a way that isn't really understandable to the common person or the public. And I think art can play a strong role in bridging that communication gap, taking information that might not be very comprehensible to somebody who's not a scientist and allowing for a different perspective or way of understanding that same information.
So you are an artist as well. I have seen some of your work, perhaps listeners have as well. And when we speak of art, that's a very large domain of what constitutes a focus for a person. How did you, given your background, come to be the kind of artist you are? How would you describe that?
Oh, it was just real spontaneous, like a lot of things in my life. I'm a pretty spontaneous person, but I was always artistic as a child, and I grew up with a bunch of men and boys. There wasn't a lot of other girls in my family. And they were all farmers and iron workers and machinists. So I grew up learning how to operate lots of tools, equipment, welders. And I learned how to build things. Then when I fell into doing metal work as an artist, I was working for Fish and Game out on the Alaska Peninsula doing salmon research. And for the summer, I came in and I linked up with an airplane mechanic who was working for one of my uncles. And he had been making kind of yard art, sort of sculpture things. Mm-hmm. And he showed me some of that, and I knew how to use the tools and everything. So I just started making salmon. I was crazy about salmon at the time. That's all I could think about. All I did was catch salmon, study salmon, eat salmon, think like a salmon. So I started making artwork of salmon. And pretty soon people were interested in buying them. Before I knew it, I was in a First Friday show that same summer with Byron Birdsaw. Whoa. And at Artique, and it just really kind of launched into a career. And I think now I counted up the other day, I have 13 different public art pieces, percent for art pieces. And, you know, I've got work internationally, and I'm trying to expand into other art realms. So I feel like it's really become part of my life. And that's how it happened, Mike.
it happened.
A bunch of farmers and iron workers teaching me to, cultivating this career.
So I have been impressed by seeing examples of your work. I'm also curious, as you reflect upon this, you've talked about the very specific start to how you began doing it and so on. Did you find as you went further along and were achieving some success and people were reflecting upon what you were doing, that you had either inadvertently or very intentionally been following in a path trod by other artists? So could you be described as being in the direction of, and fill in the blank?
That's an interesting question. I never thought about it like that. But, you know, lately I have been, just because I've been contemplating, like, you know, I'm going to be 40 next in a couple of weeks, you know. So, you know, you're kind of midlife and you're just sort of like, all right, it's halftime. Let me contemplate what I've been doing.
Okay.
And where I want to spend my time and energy in this next half of my life or so. And I have reflected on a lot of, all these different tools I've acquired of being an artist, being really trained in science and having a lot of field experience. I worked in a lot of different countries doing scientific work in different places in Alaska. And I've also been studying the healing arts for the last 4 years pretty intensely. And I've realized that what I'm doing right now is sort of pulling all of these together, or they are really probably who my identity is, kind of merging together. And it really does make me feel connected to past artists who are these combinations of a variety of different what you would say careers or studies, you know, and maybe that's what an artist is being about, is being kind of this a conglomeration of different things. Maybe artists are these people who do represent the masses, you know, in very different ways at different times, because I think artists probably are a little bit more sensitive or just in tune or paying more attention to all the aspects of life, where somebody who's more specialized really kind of focuses in on certain things. But artists tend to really want to see the bigger picture and look at it. So I do have this tendency to think that, I never thought I would be an artist, you know, when I came out of school. Even, you know, I thought I'd be working for Conservation International or the WWF, and all of a sudden I'm in a different field, but carrying a lot of the same ambitions, ideas, and experiences, just applying them very differently. And I think that's what a lot of artists have done in the past.
There's an oft-used phrase, art is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
And yet what you've described is art is in the essence of how you've come along and done this, it sounds like. This was as I've heard you say, something that came from inside you, if you will, there's an interaction with the world around you. You've been very specific about that. But it doesn't sound as if you have had, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of time spent taking classes to become an artist.
That's right. I haven't actually, I think I took 2 high school classes.
It carried you a long way.
Yeah, in jewelry, which was fun. I think I still have one of the rings I made. And pottery. But I always grew up, my mother was, you know, real artistic. I had to sew my own clothes as a kid till I was like in 4th grade. We did a lot of cross stitch, a lot of painting, a lot of things like that.
Sure.
And I mentored under a few scientists who were professional artists while doing field work. I learned how to paint under them. But mostly I'm self-taught, or I should say, yeah, like 95% self-taught, you know.
Okay.
Which is kind of my approach to life. I'm very much a hands-on person, and I like having experiences versus sort of just reading about things or something.
So we've been talking about your background. I'm Mike Malevsky here with Holly Gitline, and we've been talking about her life as both a scientist and an artist and a curious person.
Yeah.
A person with curiosity.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Or both.
Or both. And the I'm thinking, okay, you've identified a point here by your age, and as you're looking at that, does your sense of where you are suggest your next direction?
I try to always be kind of in the present. And age, you know, time is sort of a funny thing. Yeah, I've always really felt timeless. Like, I think about myself when I was younger, and I feel like I'm, you know, it's always that essence. That essence is just something very immortal about it that I've always been very connected to. So I always try to stay really deeply rooted in that and trust it. And I feel that as I've gotten older and had more time with myself, that I've learned more and more to really trust that and to kind of just let go and surrender into that feeling and use that sort of guidance. If I can stay anchored like that, I'll always have like my compass pointing north. So that's sort of my approach probably to the next part of my life or where I'm at in my life. Because I do feel that I'm in an interesting time of like, it's probably because it's an interesting time on the planet. You know, we're in these big transitional times. There's a lot of change going on in the climate. There's a lot of change in our economics. There's a lot of change in our governance. There's a lot of change in our society. So I feel like change is right here, and to change with it, to go with that universal flow.
Okay.
That was pretty ambiguous.
Well, then being nonspecific here, it might be the safest approach given these large changing elements. And as you spoke about earlier, sometimes when you have this kind of apparent change going on and swirling in so many different ways, that it becomes ever more interesting how to hold on to something or to let go of something when you are being pushed in a direction where holding on would be very painful, or letting go it would be. So finding, as has been true for many people, the balance, it seems to be maybe an enhanced quality that we need to find, whatever balance that means, while not trying to stay where we are. Yeah, very, very interesting. Well, Holly Gitlin, we've talked for almost a half hour here, and I've heard you describe your life and observations about life. Is there anything you'd like to add before we finish up?
I just want to encourage people to, you know, try to be a lot more open-minded, especially right now. We all need to find common ground. We, you know, all of science, if there's anything that science shows us, is especially right now, this peer evidence review, you know, the universe is very much connected. We are all part of a continuous field of intermixing energies, from a rock, from a human, to an airplane. All of these things are very much connected, and we're in a time of great separation. You know, people are very divided, and there's a lot of probably worry about what's happening. But I think the one things that we can look to find security and to find reason in times like this is nature. That nature has cycles, but nature always works together. We need to kind of come into a place where we might not agree with each other, we might not get along with each other, but we can find a common ground and live peacefully with each other in a way of respect. And that's what nature does, and that's our biggest guide. That's where we come from. So just go out into nature and be kind to each other.
Okay. Holly Gitlin, thank you.